exciting.
Welcome to PDGA Radio this 17th of May, 2022. Can you believe it, Jennifer? This is our 20th episode together since the relaunch of PDGA Radio way back in January. 20 episodes.
It's going pretty fast.
I know. Are you getting sick of me yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll see.
I'm mostly not sick of you yet either. So everything going just fine. Before we get to our very special and very interesting guest today, we don't want to ignore this past weekend, right? A weekend at Santa Cruz, a weekend playing De La Viega deserves a few moments of just, I guess maybe honor is the word I'm looking for. After all, that course and that area is so historic. What were your takeaways?
It is just one of those courses. There's several that I've played that just kind of feel magical when you're here because there is so much disc golf history at the course with this club in Santa Cruz. It just, it's a magical place that no matter kind of how good or bad I play, I always just love to be here. So it was good. I didn't play as great as I had in the past year. So was kind of bummed about that, but finished with a really good round on Sunday finally. And was really awesome to see Sarah Hoka come back from the chase card.
Yeah.
She had an incredible round. I talked with her after the round and she kind of joked, you know, she didn't have a drive over 300 feet. And on Sunday we played the disc golf course, or I mean the ball golf course,
right,
which is got quite a bit of distance to it. We actually have some par fours on there where, So the De La Viega disc golf course, we played this year as a par 54, and that's kind of unusual. We're not used to playing big events with every hole being a par three. Lately, that's old school. We used to do it all the time with no big deal. But the mentality for women to know that it's okay to get a four because that's really a par, you know, sometimes that's frustrating and can be hard mentally to deal with. There's definitely, I would say maybe four holes out there that could have played as a par four for the women, and maybe one or two even for the men. But so the scores were a little higher over par for FPO. Right. That might have been different for people to see and them trying to figure out what was going on. You know, why weren't we shooting under par? Well, that's a hard course. They took out quite a few of the birdie opportunities.
Right.
With making it from 24 holes down to 18. So, yeah, that was a little disappointing not to be able to play the entire course as we always had in the past. The fridge is such a iconic hole that some people are used to seeing, and that hole was taken out this year. Yeah, so scores were just a little bit higher than usual for the actual disc golf course that De La. And then Sunday we went over to the ball golf course. And we actually had a lot of scores under par. I believe Sarah ended up 7 under, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
So
bogey free, 7 under.
Bogey free out there is incredible because, you know, with the greens and bunkers right up next to several of those baskets and hole 18, the pond comes in really quick for a lot of the right hand, backhand throwers. So, that was just an incredible round. She kind of shocked herself, I think, and it was really exciting. She won this event exactly 10 years ago. So, and was able to play it last year with her injuries. So it was really cool to witness that. And then on the men's side, Gannon Burr, shocker, I guess, if no one's watched, he was able to finally catch.
spoiler
alert. Sorry. Gannon was able to get his first win. He's been so close all year and just hanging in every week. So he was able to pull it off. So a lot of fun stuff here. Not too many horrible De La rolls that I saw, but they happen.
Yeah, they happen. Yeah, they're part of the game. And I noticed the players tend to take those in stride. So, but you're right. I didn't see anybody get what I felt like was a super unfair, you know, bad break or anything like that. I think everybody feels like they earned their score and all of that, which of course is important. That was a lot of fun. I got to do my own little participation with De La this past week being that I've not gotten to go out there and play it yet, I got to do the next best thing. Let me say that again. I got to do the next best thing and be part of the commentary team on the Disc Golf Network. So alongside with Brian Earhart, we were doing the live commentary during just the final round. And it's definitely worth going back and watching, I think. It was really, really interesting. Brian and I think one time several months ago, we passed each other like at an event. And I don't even think he knew I was Grant. I mean, he's heard of the podcast, but I don't think he knew me. And I only knew him because I knew that we at the PDGA were using him for some work in some videos we were doing. So we'd never really met, and now we're doing a duo of live commentary. And on top of that, a lot of people I don't think realize the incredible challenges that the Disc Golf Network has to overcome on a weekly basis when it comes to technology and it comes to signal strengths, not just signal strength for the cameras on the course, but the signal strength of all of the other people that are involved in making a broadcast go.
Right.
You know, there people are literally sometimes in multiple locations all working on the same material. And, you know, well, we had severe thunderstorms like 50 miles from where I'm sitting right now yesterday. Now, they didn't impact me, but the point is they could have. Yeah. And if they had, I would have had a signal that might have been going in and out, or I might have lost power. And so, you know, I won't go into it, but let's just say this: on any given week, the Disc Golf Network is probably overcoming at least one, if not several, challenges, and they're overcoming those challenges in real time.
Yeah, on the fly.
On the fly to bring you the broadcast. And we had our challenges. Brian and I, specifically with our feeds, were having some challenges. And from what I've been told by people, most people had no idea.
Yeah.
That Brian and I were having the challenges. Now, I noticed, because there were some things that I would have liked to do to spice the broadcast up a little. There was some personality I would have liked to work in there and some things like that. But I wasn't comfortable doing that because I needed to stay in sync with Brian and I needed to stay in sync with the action. And he was struggling to do the same. And so, I mean, all in all, it was an incredible experience. I can't wait and hope I get the chance to do it again. Working with Brian was awesome. Working with all of the guys at the Disc Golf Network was really cool. But it was just really interesting being behind the scenes like we got to be.
Yeah, in a different situation, because you've done that a lot. But
I've done post. Well, you and I together have done post-produced, and that's completely different. That's already been edited. We're just putting voice tracks over and dropping in knowledge where we have it. But in this case, it was just a completely different and really wildly fun. It reminded me of back when I used to do live radio, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the challenges you face.
Never know who's going to call in.
Yeah. Well, and you have to cover for mistakes live and make it sound like it wasn't a mistake. Like you meant to be going back and recapping a little information, when the truth of the matter is you missed something. Or.
Well, and also, you know, they'll cut and change, and you know, I mean, you may not see exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no playback. There's no time to question it. And there's no time to finish your thought. Say you did see something incredible happen or bad. You may not have the time to talk about it. So little different.
Yeah. But that was really, really exciting. I would love in the future maybe to talk about it a little bit more, because I think people would be really, really interested in, like I said, kind of pulling that curtain back and understanding more of what goes into these broadcasts and frankly, where the expenses go for these broadcasts, where the logistics go for these broadcasts. I think it makes people more appreciative, to be honest with you. It certainly makes me more appreciative now that I've seen even more than what I already knew.
Yeah. So we need to bring on some of the behind the scene guys. We've brought on Jeff, you know, but, We weren't talking about all the behind the scenes and what it takes to put on the show. So we'll have to bring the show guys on a podcast in the future.
No doubt about it. Hey, this is a perfect segue, Jen, into our guest, because we're talking about the show. And our guest today is a show creator. Jen, you and I were talking before we came on the air today about that documentary that came out some years ago called Flatball. A documentary that looked at the the history and the culture of Ultimate Frisbee. Well, this man, Dennis Worson, was the creator behind that project. And just a couple of years ago, Dennis launched a new project, a project looking at disc golf, looking at the history of disc golf, and looking at specifically the history in the making that was beginning to happen, beginning just a couple of years ago. And then he didn't plan this. Everything exploded.
Yeah, because, perfect timing.
Because not only were some things happening in our sport that were worthy of extra attention, but then the global pandemic set in and brought even more participants and eyes onto the sport because, to put it simply, people were looking for things to do, safe things to do outside, ways to compete, ways to have some community, all of that. Everything kind of jumbled together, and Dennis was already sort of positioned to be capturing this. So he is now well into this project, a project that is slated right now to release sometime in 2023. And he is here to tell us about the project and about his fundraising efforts in order to see the project all the way through to completion. So without further ado, we're going to welcome into the PDGA Radio Virtual Studio, Dennis Worson. As promised, Jennifer and I, so thrilled to welcome Dennis Worson into the PDGA Radio Virtual Studio because of the work that Dennis is doing promoting the game of disc golf. Dennis, we know we need to start at the beginning with you because you come into this project that we're going to get to from a previous project that a lot of our listeners might be familiar with if they have streaming services to watch documentaries on. First of all, Dennis, introduce yourself and tell us about some of your past projects.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on. I am an old Ultimate player. I played in New York for what turned out to be one of the best Ultimate teams ever. And after that, after my career in Ultimate started winding down, I've always played disc golf too, but at the time, it always seemed like that was, of course, the secondary passion or game that I played. And after as my career wound down, I moved to the West Coast from New York and had a kid, retired, and I got into film production. I started working with the San Francisco 49ers football team on a half-hour show called 49ers Total Access. And did that for a decade or so. And then a half hour, you know, the sports shows are all mini documentaries, as you know. And that got me interested in telling stories. And I wanted to go back and bring the knowledge and the passion I had for storytelling back to my roots as an Ultimate player. And I thought that the subject matter was a great historical documentary waiting to happen. And I actually wrote my senior thesis way back in college, really before I even started playing Ultimate. As I started playing Ultimate, what am I going to do for a history degree? What am I going to do my senior thesis on? And I chose a history of Ultimate. So it goes all the way back to 1990 is when this whole thing started. And I wrote a 50-page paper on the history of Ultimate.
And was it that paper that eventually became Flatball?
That was called A History of Ultimate, and Flatball was Flatball, A History of Ultimate. So definitely, and lines that I wrote all the way back in 1990 got used. Alec Baldwin, my narrator, ended up saying some stuff that I wrote 30 years earlier, and of course
that's awesome.
Really cool. Yeah.
So there we go. That may be an introduction to those listening right now that they didn't know they've already had with you. I didn't know I had already had it with you because I watched the Flatball documentary probably, I don't know, 5 years ago. It was a while back. And yeah. I think it was on Netflix, at least at the time. And even that, I'm not 100% sure of. But what I am sure of is watching that documentary and even then connecting my passion for disc golf to the world of Ultimate, the passion for flying discs in general. And so I enjoyed it very, very much, even though I hadn't really played Ultimate since my college days.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't name the movie yes, it's called Flatball, A History of Ultimate. And I started in 2012 and, it was done by about 15 and it got released and it was on Netflix in 17 and 18.
Okay.
And I got a lot of the same thrills out of doing it as I hope that people got out of watching it, if not more, of course. And I met, and that's when I first, Stork, if you remember, Stork was in that movie as well. Mm-hmm. So the first time I talked and interviewed Stork was way back in 10 years ago now, 2012. And I've had about 5 interviews with him since then. And the guy's a treasure trove of great anecdotes.
Yeah, it's awesome that there are so many people still around to tell the story of history of Ultimate and disc golf and other, you know, sports like this, because there's so many new players. You know, back then there might have been a lot of players, but it was the same players everywhere. You know, so there was this kind of small family community of Ultimate players and then disc golf players. And now there's so many new eyes out there and people interested, and they may not even know when it began or the history of the sport. And not that they don't want to, but they just kind of think, well, this just popped up in my life. So maybe it's just a brand new sport and there isn't any history. So it's really cool that there are people out there that can document that to share for all these new players in both Ultimate and disc golf.
I thought that the story of disc golf, you know, after doing what I did with Ultimate, I certainly thought that I started the project real, you know, 2018, as soon as Flatball was on Netflix, and I was already thinking about what's my next project going to be. And I thought it was a really good idea then. Whether the sport died or kept on going in the same, it didn't matter. It was already had a rich 40-year history and it had a lot of similarities. All disc sports, of course, originate from the same from the same overall mentality. Back to some of the conversations you had with Stork, and so I was committed to doing this project. And 2019 was the main season that I decided, okay, I'm going to go do everything. I'm going to go to World, you know, to the European Open. I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to travel around the country, and I'm going to follow the modern day disc golf scene to show, you know, that provides the front story. And if you can enamor people enough with the front story, then it begs the question, well, how did all this get started? And then you go back in time and then you tell that story. Mm-hmm. And so to have what happen with the pandemic, you know, on the one hand, it slowed me down. I was ready to have this crowdfunding campaign that I'm having right now. I was ready to have that. You know, I was really ready a year and a half ago, but of course I waited for the reasons we all know. And then what happened next, as I say, is it was magical. And if it was a good idea to make a movie about disc golf then, it's a wow, holy cow.
Yeah, and a blessing that you didn't, finish it two years ago.
Out. And then I watched James Conrad and the women's final, both these unbelievable finals mm-hmm. in 2021, and just like, wow, okay, that's the new front story. 2019 and the season diary can still be a part of it, but now we have a new hook that really, again, begs the question, wow, how did all this get started?
So being very, very clear for our listeners, we just now segued from Project A to Project B, meaning we jumped along with Dennis from the passion that went into the Flatball documentary about Ultimate. And that documentary came out in 2017, 2018. And right about that same time, Dennis, you start working on a new project for disc golf. The pandemic hits you right between the eyes. Everything seems to hit a gigantic pause button across the entire world, not just in the disc golf world. More important things than flying discs were certainly happening and frankly continue to happen. But the fact of the matter is, it shut your project down and lost you some momentum very, very briefly. But then when that momentum returned, it's almost as though elements of your project were written for you.
Yeah.
And now here you stand. It's 2022 now. And you're riding this wave. And better than that, you're able to document it for the rest of us in terms of telling us what we're doing. And now you're going to tell us why. You're going to work backwards. Yeah. And give us a whole bunch of history. Can you tell us a little bit, maybe tease us even a little bit about some of those historical elements that we can expect to see when this project comes out?
Well, first of all, you guys and everybody, the Disc Golf Pro Tour, the PDGA, Jomez Pro, you know, Ian from
Central Coast.
Ian Anderson from Central Coast. I mean, you guys are documenting the sport right now, and thank you. And I just get to, again, use that as the front story to tell this backstory. And obviously the history 30 years ago is not changing anymore.
Right.
It's locked in, and that's what's, that hasn't changed about my, my project. And, back to Stork. Stork is like, you know, the fact that he ultimate freestyle disc golf. He's like, I'm not a religious person, but I know Abraham is in the Quran and he's in the Bible, and he's like, Stork is like our Abraham.
Yes.
You go back far enough in history, he's there. He's in every book. So we're gonna start. Yeah, we're gonna start with that. To me, all of these sports start with the true pioneers are all the overall people who, and the, I'm especially interested and will be highlighting. And we saw it in the Ultimate movie with the Rose Bowl years, 1975 to 81, where all the world Frisbee championships, and Stork organized that. And that's really where everything gets going. And all people from around the world travel to Pasadena, and you know, because they throw a frisbee in Denmark or Japan or wherever they are, and then they come to the Rose Bowl and they're like, whoa, there's frisbee golf, there's a freestyle. They probably already knew about that, and ultimate, everything got the Rose Bowl years were such a huge spreader event of all the disciplines, and everything that, you know, we're doing now really came out of that.
Yeah, they cross over so well because so many of, like you said, the pioneers of disc golf were also kind of some of the pioneers for ultimate. And our beginning disc golf players, most of them had some kind of freestyle or ultimate background. You know, even some of my favorites, Crazy John Brooks was there through all of that. An amazing, you know, member of ultimate and freestyle and disc golf, and Juliana, you know, some names that maybe now some new players know those names, or at least, you know, with Juliana coming back. And so there's a lot of crossover for some of those beginner disc golf players. And so your two documentaries are really going to kind of work together really well.
Yeah. I'll use your, what you just said as a segue. one of the things I'm tinkering with an idea, speaking of Crazy John, I just literally talked to Crazy John last night.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, I talked to him. And in 1990 was the first year, as you guys probably know, Climo, his first world championships. And the way I'm looking at this thing now is Crazy John could have won that 1990 world championship. He was at, he's a freestyle Hall of Famer. He'd won the overall at Santa Cruz prior to that. He could have won. Well, going into it, he thought he could have won that year. And so, but then this guy comes along named Ken Climo and changes the game forever. And we see the future of the sport. And so to me, like that's this line where, okay, the overall player, you know, it'll always be part of our history. It'll always be legends and pioneers of our game, but they ain't going to win the disc golf worlds or the, you know, you have to specialize and break out. Juliana, by the way, she's another big part of my movie. That's what made her whole freestyle interim between her two disc golf careers, for her to come out and become a a freestyle world champion is freaking unbelievable. Right. I love that. But
it's hard to do all of them as much as the sport has grown, each sport, you know. Yeah. So
you had to specialize. As of 1990, it's like, okay, crazy's not going to probably not going to be winning any major disc golf championships in the future or anybody else. You gotta be like Gannon Burr now. You gotta start when you're 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought this could be kind of fun. Just in the last 2 minutes, we've dropped a lot of names. We've names that you are featuring in one form or another. So I know you might want to keep a few secrets for when the film actually comes out, but what other names maybe can you tease us with? Are there any people involved that maybe aren't players or aren't historical, you know, creators of the sport, but they're going to be a very interesting part of this documentary?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. Yeah. You know, two of the movies, the older movies that I've always liked and I tried to emulate, there's really a couple different styles, but if you ever saw an old skateboarding surfing movie called Dogtown and Z-Boys, it's a great documentary film. And there's one about surfing called Step Into Liquid. And that was made by the son of the guy who made The Endless Summer. And in The Endless Summer itself, yes, it was about surfing, but it's about traveling around the world, and you go and you see cool places, and these people were not surf legends, but yet the movie was great. And in the Step Into Liquid, the surf movie, there was just a lot of great scenes where, for instance, they would go and teach surfing to kids in Northern Ireland and bridging the gap between Protestants and Catholics. And so in my Ultimate movie, I heard about this program called Ultimate Peace, where they teach kids in the Middle East, and they bring Palestinians and Jews together, and they played in a world championship. And it's like world news. Forget about Frisbee. It's like, we have this conflict region. So when that happened, I'm like, okay, this is going to be in my movie. Like, it was in that Step Into Liquid movie, and I'm going to make it.
Wow.
And that really got the whole project going. And there's a couple of nice things like that happened in the very beginning of me making this movie that yielded the same result, which is like, yeah, these people, well, let me just get to it. For instance, I went out in, whenever it was, 2018, I went to just go play around at Golden Gate Park, and the course is closed today, or it's really crowded with, there's a deaf disc golf tournament going on. Like, what? Deaf disc golf? Like, huh? And I go, and there's a whole tournament of people, and they're all local. There's a whole community of deaf disc golfers here in the Bay Area. And then I start doing my research, and I'm like, whoa, they're all over the world. Mm-hmm. Obviously, deaf people are all over the world, but right. deaf disc golf associations.
They have a huge community.
It's an international affair. And so I, in the 2019 season, when I started traveling around to go and start, documenting this great sport, I saw Sarah Hokum. I don't know if she was using sign language, but she was communicating with a deaf guy. And I asked her to introduce me. And his name is Jeffrey Roberts. And he's, I believe he's sponsored by Innova. And great guy. And hey, can we do an interview? And he had a translator. He had a sign language translator, if that's the right terminology. Yeah. And we sat down and we did a great interview. And he's married to a woman named Brandy Aguado. And so we kept in touch. It was a great interview. It's going to definitely make the cut of the film. And they told me, hey, we're going to the International Deaf Disc Golf Championships. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's something I need to go check out. And okay, where is it? It's in Helsinki. And it's 2 weeks before the European Championship. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to Finland, because that's two really good topics to cover. And so, long answer to what you started asking me, which is, yes. So this, there's a great story that popped up about the deaf disc golf community. And I got to go to the International Deaf Disc Golf Championship in Helsinki. And I met a whole nother group of great people and players. And I just think it just makes the whole sport look good.
It all comes together.
The community is wonderful.
Well, and does the documentary also show like a higher level of, you know, Europe takes disc golf, you know, it truly is a professional sport over there and viewed differently than in the US. So does that kind of come across as well?
Well, definitely. I went there having done a lot of research and knowing all about UC Marisma. And so I took a bus to I didn't have a car, obviously. And I made my way to his office in Tampere, Finland. And we had a great conversation. And that's a lot about what it was about. And he's one of the, of course, driving forces over there. And what he's doing now with Åland, with the island development of 20 disc golf courses in those islands. But UC and the Finnish explosion of disc golf, that was already happening in 2019. Yeah, yeah. Definitely we're going to be talking about that for sure. And then another couple of topics outside of, you know, the wheelhouse of the Crazy Johns and the Julianas are two things that happened. You know, the pandemic shut down a lot of my production, but the opportunities did not stop, and so I just kept going. And two things that happened during the pandemic that I'm tacking on are going to, you know, make the story. One of them is I saw Chris Brophy's segment that he did on YouTube about Don Shin, who's a 100-year-old. He was 99 at the time. And so I immediately called Chris, like, hey, you know, when's the next time you're going to hang out with this guy? I'm going, like, and can I use some of your footage? Sure. He was very nice about it. And I actually got Stork involved. And so I introduced Chris and Stork, and then Stork jumps on board, and he's been one of my producers and helping me throughout this whole thing. And so he started down the path of, like, we're going to have Don try to set the record. It's probably not too hard because I don't know how many other 100-year-old.
Yeah, there wasn't too many.
So we set this whole thing up, and it turned out to be his birthday. His 100th birthday was down at a golf course, Reedy Creek down in northern San Diego County. Mm-hmm. And so we all met down there, and I brought my son actually as a camera assistant. He was shooting, and we shot the whole thing. And I hung out with Don Shin, and he's just the nicest, most inspirational guy that you could ever meet. He plays disc. He's like, I played 50 holes yesterday, and when he set the record, he had an early tee off time. He had to play with the 60-year-olds. Of course, that's the oldest. That's the oldest division they have. They're playing with people 40 years younger than him because that's like the youngest they have. He played a whole round of golf. He had birdies. He played pretty well. And then at lunchtime, like, okay, Don, you know, set the record. And he threw it like 190 feet, and he was angry because he knows he can throw 200. And I saw him throw 200. But just what an unbelievable, what a great man. And again, that's back to stories that go beyond just disc golf. Who doesn't want to know how to live to be 100? Well,
right. And playing started so late, like as late as you almost can start.
He said he started at 90, and I talked to somebody who lived. He was in LA for first. He was
Huntington Beach, right?
Yeah, first he was there, and then he moved down to San Diego. And I talked to somebody like, no, no, he started before he was 90. I knew him when he was 85, but anyway.
That's I remember when Innova did the story on him, and it was so inspirational, whether you like disc golf or not. It was just such a cool story.
Yeah, so I just think that that is... So when you can find stories that are, yes, they're about disc golf, but they really reach... a lot wider than that, the fountain of youth, and if you're onto something. And so I grabbed onto that.
What's the second story? You said there were
and then
two.
The second one. Oh, well, Bill Nye. Yeah, the connection to Bill
as
Nye.
As in Bill Nye, the science guy, Bill
as
Nye?
As in Bill Nye, the science guy.
All right.
If you check out my... my trailer, which I got, I have a crowdfunding campaign going on right now on Indiegogo. Mm-hmm. Love for anybody to check it out and,
sure.
And help out. But in there we have, my latest trailer that I made to try to support the campaign, and Bill Nye, figures into that trailer. So check that out. But yeah, so, Stork is an old friend of Bill Nye through, when you go back, Bill Nye is an old Ultimate player himself. And so I know him a little bit from my previous movie. He saw Flatball, my Ultimate movie, and he liked it a lot. And we had conversations, and he gave me a little love on some broadcasts. And I've hung out with him a few times. So then when I started doing this, I said, hey, Stork, how about we try to incorporate Bill Nye? I have this great idea about when we start talking about the beveled edge revolution and discs start becoming more aerodynamic, streamlined around 83. Why don't we, now I'm giving away my secrets, but why don't we do have, like, out of nowhere, Bill Nye will pop, like, who better to talk about flying disc aerodynamics than Bill Nye, the science guy? And Stork thought it was a great idea, and he called up Bill, and we had to go back and forth for, almost a year during the pandemic. And eventually, bam, Bill says he'll do it. And I went down, and me and Stork and Bill Nye played a round of golf and did a whole segment. He brought props, like a toy whale, because it's like everybody thinks that the the sharp edge, the front of the disc is what is, you know, what's cuts through the wind, but it's actually the trailing edge, which is equally as important. And you see that in a whale's design, where the whale is thick in the front and then it tapers to the back so that the molecules of water, because air is just, you know, this is all Bill Nye telling me, air is, you know, water is just thicker air. And so all the same principles apply. And so he showed up with props. And he had a diagram of the original Frisbee, and then he had diagrams of the patent. And again,
so
just
cool.
a delightful day, and we all got to play disc golf. And
I would have loved to have been like in that area. Like, I can only picture this disc golf round, and yeah. I'm sure it was quite unique.
Yeah, and Bill is an old Ultimate player, and so. I told, this is something I posted on Facebook just the other day. At one point, you know, me and Stork were both giving Bill pointers. He's a good old Frisbee player, but he hasn't played too much disc golf. And so at one point he had to go, he's a righty, he had to go to the left of a tree and come back. And Stork's, you know, take this, you know, sidewinder and try to, I'm like, nah, Stork, he's an Ultimate player, man. Let's let him, you know, give him a stable disc and let him throw a forehand. And sure enough, he throws the, he actually did both just to
see,
which one was better. And the forehand, yeah, the forehand was the one that was parked underneath the pin.
Nice.
And so I got a little teaching credential over Stork on that
one. Nice.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I think what we've managed to do here, and I don't know that Jennifer and I intended to do this. It just happened that way. I think what we've done here is we've teased our listeners about a really cool project that is still how many months before it's expected to be released?
The latest expectation is that we're going to be done by the beginning of next year's Disc Golf Pro Tour PDGA Elite Series tournaments. And I'd love to be, you know, airing it at some of those events.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, my dream is, you know, it's whether we're in Peoria or Emporia, right? That's where the
this year's
DDO
a lot of disc golf happens in both places, I'm told.
Whether it be Emporia or whether it be the European Open or over at the USDGC or, you know, hopefully a number of them, we'll stick with the DDO example. You know, it's Wednesday or Thursday before the tournament that weekend, and that theater right downtown Emporia that everybody knows has got disc golf history in the making up on the marquee, and people who are starting to hear about the tournament that weekend they see the marquee, players are there, Stork's in town, Julianne is in town, and there's going to be a Q&A, and we're going to see a great film about the history of the sport. And then that draws in attention. And then a couple more people who might not have attended the weekend's tournament attend the weekend's tournament. Yeah. And a couple more people get turned on to this great sport.
Well, so many people in that town love and know a lot about disc golf that don't even play. So what a cool town to air that in, because that's their local theater.
Yeah.
And so there might be a lot of just locals that want to watch it just because they know disc golf, you know, loves Emporia. So.
And that's one of the things that I'm really hoping. Obviously, the disc golf community, that's like the audience that I hope that I have in my back pocket. Like, that's a given. But, you know, a lot of people say it, but do they really actually do it? I really do want to make a project that reaches the outside world. Mm-hmm. And get more people in.
We're gonna need to get you a red carpet, but a red carpet that's made out of that turf tee box material.
Oh yeah, we used that this weekend,
and it was red. We just need more of that, and that'll. I'm getting creative here.
We'll tee you up till when it's ready.
So Dennis, now that we've teased everybody, and now that, you know, looking at the calendar, we're not even halfway through 2022 yet. We're talking about hopefully an early 2023 release date, maybe something as late as March or April of next year. So 10, 11 months, perhaps we've teased everyone. How can people follow along? How can they, connect with you online? How can they get involved, perhaps financially or otherwise, to this project now that they're going to have to wait 10 or maybe even 11 months before they get to see it come to fruition? How can people connect with you?
Yeah, we hope sometime between Las Vegas and the European Open, I would say we should be out there screening. And until then, I have a Facebook site. It's Flatball Film Disc Golf, and I have a website. It's called discgolf.movie. And truth be told, right now, that discgolf.movie, that will redirect you right to the crowdfunding campaign.
Okay.
It's all part of my master plan. So check out discgolf.movie, and that'll take you over to where you can see the trailer with Stork and Juliana and Bill Nye here's a little inside scoop that not many people know. Crazy John is the narrator, the male narrator for that trailer.
Can't get a better person for that.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it sounds like a classic old voice from the 70s. It's like, let's go, blah, blah, blah. That's crazy. I had called up Juliana and Crazy. I said, I want to have a female and a male and a female narrator, and I want you guys to do it. And they both said yes, and they both submitted great stuff. Juliana was up front, and I actually, in the last minute, I changed a couple of the lines around. So then I had to get a quick replacement female narrator. I got my editor's wife is a professional voiceover person, so I just stopgap measured and used her. But those, my original idea was to have Juliana and Crazy be the two narrators for the trailer. So check out the Indiegogo campaign. Check out discgolf.movie and give till it hurts.
Because, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, thank you. I want to do this for, you know, it sounds opportunistic or self-serving when I say, oh, I really want to do this for Stork. No, you just want to do it for yourself. No, really, I do want to do it for people like him and the pioneers. And I want to, you know, whether the younger generation realizes it or not, kind of what we were alluding to now, there's so many new people mm-hmm. in the game. They are now a part of this great family.
Right. Right.
And they might not realize it, and I want them to realize it because it's a good feeling.
It is.
And so that's you know, that's why I want to get people over to the site, and I want to make this thing as good as possible for the pioneers and for everybody, for all of us.
And that way they can be a part of it as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Way cool, Dennis. Well, thanks for opening up a little bit of your world to us, and thanks for giving everybody a chance to be a part of the project, whether it's just by spreading word of mouth or by getting involved in other ways. This is going to be a really great project. I can say that with so much confidence, having enjoyed Flatball. So this is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be bigger, but it's, and I don't know if it's going to be better, but if it's at least the equal, it will be bigger and better than what I think anybody could possibly be imagining right now. So the next 10 or 11 months or however long it ends up being could not go by fast enough. And I hope that I get a chance to walk by you on that red carpet and be among the first to see this. And Jennifer, I know you feel the same way, right?
Absolutely.
I'm looking for a couple of MCs. So you guys are first on the list.
I know a couple of people that like to speak into microphones. One of the two of them has a face for radio.
Yeah, I'm getting better at it. I didn't know at first this was going to be my new passion, but it's been so much fun. So
you guys are both great. Thank you so much.
All right, Dennis, we'll let you get back to the editing table, and we will catch you sometime, I hope, much sooner than later. All right?
All right, you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dennis.
Bye. Dennis Warson, creator of Disc Golf History in the Making, right here on PDGA Radio.
Okay, that's going to be it for this week's PDGA Radio. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're going to be back live next week on Disc Golf Pro Tour at OTB in Stockton.
Yeah, looking forward to that coverage, and just the scenery's gorgeous there in that area of California. So that's going to be fantastic. One more thing before we let you go. We want to remind you, Jennifer and I both want to remind you to keep an eye on PDGA's social channels, and in particular on the PDGA Radio Twitter feed, because we've got a couple of little tweaks coming to the PDGA Radio podcast format. Just a couple of little tweaks. Some may not even really notice, but some different release dates during the course of the week and some different release times relative to different events throughout the year, so that Jennifer and I can keep bringing you lots of disc golf related content, but so that we can also do all of the traveling that we have to do in order to provide some of that disc golf related content. So we've got a couple of tweaks coming here in the coming weeks. And if you want to pay attention to exactly what those tweaks are, just follow us at PDGA Radio on Twitter.
Also, they need to give us some more questions and great ideas, right?
We love it when people ask us questions that sometimes turn into episodes or turn into exciting and interesting guests. So if you have a question of any kind relative to disc golf history, or even the events, we love those questions. And when we can, we have a lot of fun trying to dig those answers up for you. So absolutely follow us there at PDG Radio on Twitter, and make sure you let us know what questions you have. For now, see ya.
Bye, everybody.